This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Shin Labo is the latest gastronomical venture by Chef James Wan. The name Shin Labo is a play on words rooted in the Japanese word shin, which can mean true, extend, new, or heart. The word labo means laboratory in both Japanese and French. And Shin Labo is on a mission to transform the omakase experience by bringing together Japanese cuisine with French touches using Malaysian ingredients. Good morning, Chef James. How are you?
Hey, Frida. I'm very well. How are you?
I am good. So congratulations in order for your new venture. It's about 6 months now, right? And it's a unique dining experience with an equally interesting name. How did the concept and name come about?
Ah, okay. Long story short, I need to thank COVID for this baby. Because it's conceived by COVID.
Okay.
Through necessity and through the fact that I felt we needed to change as a service provider in the F&B industry. Reason being is that my previous restaurant, Onfa, was very big in terms of space, plate. Nothing wrong with the cuisine, nothing wrong with the style of service that we do, etc. It's just that the space was really big. And it was not a space where you can fill up even on a night where you are doing 40 covers. It's designed for events and et cetera. So having years of operating back in Malaysia, I decided that it was time to pivot and do something a little bit different and also be more relevant to post-COVID, which I felt that we needed more intimate spaces, less traffic, and focus on what mattered the most, which is quality. So hence, COVID and I conceived a new baby called Shin Labo. At the same time, I also wanted to change the way how I operated my business compared to the past. So Meta was, as a company, was also brought to life. The belief now is to be focused on developing a platform where we groom and spot Malaysian talent, give them a space to develop themselves. I feel that as we mature in no matter what we do, we become a little bit less relevant to the market. Right. We need to hear the younger ones, understand what this whole Web3 that is upcoming about. and it does influence how we serve and what we do. I mean, you know, before this, we were never so focused on creating a picture perfect plate.
Right.
Now, if you don't have the right lighting, you don't have the right kind of space that makes it Instagrammable, it becomes a big chore for people who wants to come and promote you. So all this taken into consideration, I decided on coming up with something a little bit different.
Right. You mentioned a couple of things. I just want to, you know, expand on that. And you were saying that, you know, this baby came because of the pandemic. Have consumer behavior changed? Have your customers changed in their expectations? And of course, with Meta Food Nation, right? This what are the younger ones talking about? I mean, apart from the Instagrammable and all that, but what are people looking for now?
People in general have changed in terms of how they dine out. The habit has changed. One thing good about this whole COVID situation is that we are not allowed to travel abroad. So a lot of people had to dine in the country. So also gave them a chance to discover Malaysian talent, new places to eat, and the way they eat. Now, more than ever, people are interested in small plates, variety. more flavors. So tasting menu is starting to become trendier and trendier. Malaysian ingredients is becoming trendier. Fusion is the key word right now. Malaysia itself is a birthplace of fusion, but we now is now we are seeing it in the fine dine places. You know, also I think people are looking for places that are less customer in terms of per seating. You know, and more importantly, the feeling of not being watched by too many people. Discretion has become quite a big sought after criteria. That's why private dining room is something that is very incredible, good business. And they expect to have a bit of entertainment within the space. So they don't want to be, unlike before, I dine now, I go to a karaoke, KTV later, or I go meet my place, meet my friends in another place for a drink. Now they would love to have one-stop shop that isn't big, but yet still able to cater for the number of pax that they wish to have a small intimate party.
Do you think, okay, now that we are slowly traveling again, do things need to revamp and change again? What do you foresee?
I don't foresee this to change at all because globally, I have been traveling quite a bit since the borders have opened up. I spent a month in Europe. I just got back. In fact, I'm leaving tomorrow again for abroad. And I'm seeing that people are wanting to have space when they dine. You know, very big restaurants now have reduced the number of seatings that they have per seat, per session. Food quality is still primary, the number one focus. That doesn't go away. But in terms of service, they like to go to people that they know. I personally have seen this quite a bit because the customers that we have served over the past 6 months, highly regular. They feel that this is a safe space. They feel that they know that the kind of people that come to the space, they're comforted. And hygiene is very important. The amount of commitment and procedures that we put in place in terms of keeping our space a safe space is also high up on the list. So though we don't talk about it now and advertise that, you know, we do our regular check and et cetera, people take it that you do do it. So this is something that's very important.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the supply chain side of things, right? And it always boils down, especially in the kitchen, to perfect planning, execution, and of course, price hikes. So, and in the amount of specialty ingredients involved in your offerings, you know, what part of the supply chain process concerns you the most? Or what parts?
Logistics is a nightmare for us right now. The hike in logistic cost is phenomenal. Petrol price. Even though we have our own little contract farm, even the transportation from the contract farm up in Cameron's down to us, still the price has gone up 3 times. You know, we can't get producers, cost-effective producers now. So we are kind of lucky at Shin Labo because we don't give a whole carrot, so we are still able to portion it out. But if you are dealing with imported goods like from Japan and France and so forth, the price is 3 times compared to before. And it is affecting us because our bottom line is being shaken. The cost of operation has gone up in considerably, not even just ingredients, but labor costs. Labor costs has gone up.
If you can find them.
Yes. And now the demand for labor is so high because the borders are opening up and our talent are being sucked abroad, especially with our currency being so low, you know. So we have to be very lean, very, very lean. We are almost bare skeletal, so we have to choose our battle, whether we open for lunch, whether we open for high tea, whether we open for dinner. This has been a big dilemma for us, because a lot of our guests keep asking us, Chef, when is your lunch coming? When is your high tea coming? We're looking forward to it. I said, I'm so sorry. We can only do dinner right now because we're still short of staff. And even for dinner, we are open for our main dining room. We can't do the private dining because we're just unable to operate both sides of the dining room at the same time.
Right. And provide that kind of service, right? I mean, you don't want to open and then you don't provide that kind of service, and then therein lies in more challenges.
Yes, very much so. Because for us at Shin Labo, the key taking and that we want our guests to leave our space with is a perfect experience. Right. And that encompasses every little detail that we put into the space, not just the food. So if we can't accord you the kind of attention that you deserve, then it's a big issue for us. So we rather not do the amount of traffic that we should be doing. So it's a difficult balance, Frida.
I'm here with Chef James Wan from talking about Shin Labo, and of course he's started Meta Food Nation. We'll talk a little bit about your travels and what you've seen in the food scene in just a moment. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Behind famous men. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm here with Chef James Wan talking about his latest venture, Shin Labo, and of course with Meta Food Nation. And of course, you've been traveling quite a fair bit as well. How has this experience, influenced your culinary expressions as a chef, and what are some of the trends you're seeing?
Traveling is a very important part of my thought process and my ideation and creative process. Because I'm heavily influenced by culture. And I study how people eat, what they eat, why they eat, and then try to think about how some of this can be applied into my cuisine. I'm not sure if you know, I'm a big fan of championing our Malaysian identity. So every single book that I put out in the Krug single ingredient book, I have listed from Hakka Yong Tau Fu to rice wine, Chinese chicken. Rice wine, to et cetera, to share our identity to the world. At the same time, I travel to understand why they eat what they eat. You know, what is the process of how they produce their ingredient? Because at the level of cuisine that we are doing at Shin Labo, we cannot simply just buy a bowl of sauce, open it, pour it on the table and serve it to you. That's just wrong. So we built every single seasoning, sourcing, ingredient that comes in. We transform it with our own hands. We make our own soy sauce, you know. So understanding what is soy sauce is important. When we are doing French fusion, we need to understand the French culture in detail so that we can bring some of that heritage, that practice into the kitchen, right? Like right now, we're doing a lot of aging. We age all our proteins, both seafood and red meat. So it's also very interesting to see, you know, how some of the other restaurants in Europe are doing the aging, because the aging process in Europe and in Japan is very different.
So weather Japan as well.
Yes. And also space, you know, little things like space. We don't think about it because we can afford big kitchens.
Right.
Excuse me. In Europe and certain parts of Asia where rent for space is so expensive, you can't afford big ages and et cetera. So they have developed different techniques on how to do it. Certain parts of Europe and Latin America, they do curing in a different way, you know, leaving it to the weather and Mother Nature to do the curing process for them. So a lot of this influences the way I develop some of the techniques that I've developed for Shin Labo in the kitchen. So this is an important aspect of what I do. Flavor profiling, understanding how certain things just magical with certain other ingredients, you know, right. And it's something that if we don't travel, we don't get to experience it, and therefore we can't recreate it. So this is right. also a very important part for me.
Okay, I want to bring up the topic of the Michelin stars, right? You know, and this is something, and so is this something that Shin Labo is working towards? Is Malaysia Michelin ready? Which I think we are, right? But your thoughts?
As a chef or as a normal person?
The industry. you're asking me as a chef or as a normal person, you give your perspective, but I just feel that, you know, having dined in Michelin star restaurants, right, like, yeah, it's great, but it's not anything I haven't tasted in our part of the world, in Malaysia, right? So I always feel that we do have the quality. I don't know why we haven't achieved any of this this sort of status yet. But your thoughts?
I think if you talk about cuisine perspective, I would agree with you that Malaysia do have the talent to be on the world stage.
Yeah.
In fact, we do have a lot of shining stars like Darren Teo from Dewa Khan and you know, and many others that has featured in some of other awards and recognition. I think it's a matter of exposure to the Michelin board and for us to put a more effort into marketing ourselves as a country to get them notice what we are doing. I don't think our cuisine or our techniques is any lesser than any other countries that has got the board. However, it is quite a big commitment in terms of administering it. I think that has played certain big consideration to why the board hasn't yet arrived in Malaysia. Yeah, there's a lot of rumors going on about it being here this year. Is Shin Labo Michelin ready? I would hope to think that we are. However, it is with or without the board being in Malaysia, we have always strived to do and to set ourselves up to be of international quality, because we do serve a lot of international guests week in, week out. People do fly in, especially once the border opened. We saw a big influx of guests coming to our restaurant, as high as almost 40%. So, so it's something that we have been practicing. We have been getting ourselves ready. Now, whether we will be star worthy is a different, it's a completely different question. Malaysia has the talent. We do have the talent. However, as an industry, are we Michelin ready? I think we still need to work on it, because some of the infrastructure, we are not quite there yet. And how we look at the F&B industry as a whole, the perspective is still a little bit behind. Even if you compare ourselves to the neighboring countries, if you were to see some of the way certain restaurants are designed, they're phenomenal. They're not big, but they're phenomenal. The attention to detail, the wanting to create a new experience for the diner is totally different. We don't see a lot of it here. We do have a lot of beautiful restaurants, but we don't have enough of it yet. So I think if it does happen, I wish everybody great success. I hope we will see a lot of stars. I hope so. But cautiously optimistic.
Okay, let's touch on your role as a Krug ambassador for the past 8 years. You know what this means and how has it complemented your culinary offerings as a chef?
It's something that been a great honor to be the one and the only for the last 8 years. And till today, I'm still the only Lone Ranger in the country. But it is a brand and a house that is like no other, because they choose to associate and to recognize crazy individuals like myself. And in fact, our last president, Maggie Margaret Henriquez, who since left the house, she told me, "Chef, if you ever stop being crazy like you are, that's the time you know you're no longer needed at Krug." Because they recognize person individuality. And something that I really love about the house is that they believe in absolute quality with no aggregation. And this is something I strive at the restaurant. I strive in everything that I do. I'm very pedantically meticulous. So I leave nothing unattended. When you do come over to Shin Labo, I hope you experience that. This has been something that has given greater definition for my team, because they can't say, "Oh, this is just chef being, you know, the way he is." But when they see a super big brand like this, which is recognized as, you know, the absolute best in this category, believing the same ethos and philosophy, it makes them think and makes them want to be part of it. The other thing that what has made a difference for me being part of this network or this network as an ambassador is I'm surrounded by colleagues and peers who are big names. So it gave me great access into their world and learning from them. And that has been very important for me, because, you know, culinary is not something that you think you have arrived. Culinary is something that is, until the day you die, you'll still be learning, because it's a living art. It's something that is different. We're dealing with a carrot yesterday and a carrot today is not the same. So we need to understand that it's not the same. So, and it is great to see different perspectives from, you know, our 44 culinary ambassadors around the world, sharing their thoughts, their dreams. And we get to immortalize some of this idea into a book, into a video every year. So that is something really exciting. We get to meet up. We get to share ideas and show each other and what are the new things that we have discovered. So this is something that has greatly enhanced what I do as a chef.
Right. So under the umbrella of Meta Foodination, what's your vision for it? Is it more restaurants? Is it more different concepts? You know, I know you touched on that briefly, but if you want to expand a little bit about what you hope to do with Meta Foodination.
Meta is a platform in developing more outstanding brands. Now, brands may not just be a product, a ready-made product or a manufactured product, but a human being, an artisan, a craftsman itself can be a brand. So Meta is set up to discover this people. It's a people business. We're here to get more interesting, phenomenally talented people to join us. So I have investors that have heavily invested into the company, where we will build more new brands coming. It is meant to be an international company, hence we will be expanding to Thailand next year.
Right.
So there's a Shin Labo Bangkok coming up. In Malaysia, we are expanding and we are bringing an international brand into the country in collaboration with us and myself. It's a very big fashion brand, but it will be F&B oriented. So as a whole, we're driven in two categories, hospitality, F&B. That's where my passion lies.
Right. All the best with your new ventures. Look like you've got a lot of things, you know, that you're up to. And I look forward to more exciting stories for coming from you. I've been speaking to Chef James Wan, talking about his latest venture, Shin Labo, and of course, his plans with Meta Foodie Nation. You've been listening to Open for Business. I'm Frida Liu, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.